Blog Talk Radio.
My goodness, there's my song. Hey, everybody, this is Janine, and you are listening to Lunch with Loudon. Coffee Party Internet Radio is a part of the Be the Media Project. For a complete list of Coffee Party Radio Network shows, go to www.coffeepartyusa.com and click on radio shows. As a matter of fact, when you're there, consider joining our team, Be the Media. So I'm joined today by co-host and ever faithful companion, Loki King. Loki, welcome to the show today.
Hey, how's it going? Long time no hear from.
Oh, I know. It's terrible having a monthly show. I like having a weekly show better. We'll have to talk about that. For those of you out in Blog Talk world, one of the reasons we have two people is because in the winter in Oregon, we're often losing power. I've lost power 6 times in the last 2 days. And so if all of a sudden I'm not speaking and Loki is speaking, haven't we been clever? And but there you have it. Hopefully it's not been like that for you.
No, we've been pretty steady up here at the state capital area. So we're doing good.
Well, the coast range is a little different. Anyway. So let's get started, shall we? And I want to begin with some background today. So if you go to Coffee Party USA website, you can click on About, which is about us. And under that, you can click on Mission and Vision Statement. And what you'll see is this. Our mission, connecting communities to reclaim our governance for the people. Our vision, Coffee Party USA envisions a nation of diverse communities sharing a culture of informed public engagement where our sacred right to vote is the only currency of our representative democracy. So in service to our mission and vision, it's become a Coffee Party tradition to promote activism at any and all levels. We pride ourselves in providing a safe place, hence civility and reason, to learn the tools of activism. Many of our members go on to be effective participants in actions and candidate campaigns, and for gosh sake, some of us even run for office. And as a matter of fact, here in my community, a past Coffee Party leader is now on the city council. It's very exciting. So with this tradition in mind, I'm here today to shed some light on a couple of events planned for April 2016 that will give many of us various opportunities to participate on many different levels. So this is just like custom made for those of us, whether we're tipping our toe into the possibility of activism or whether we're seasoned, experienced veterans of the game, if you want to call it that. One, I'm just going to read you a little quote from the homepage. And you can, that is at www.democracyspring.org, right? Because we're going to talk the entire rest of the show about this. The campaign will begin on April 2nd for the march from the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia to Washington, D.C., where thousands will gather to reclaim, I recognize that word, to reclaim the U.S. Capitol in a powerful, peaceful, and massive sit-in that no one can ignore. Over 1,500 people have already pledged to risk arrest between April 11th and 16th in what will be one of the largest civil disobedience actions in a generation. Together, we can open the door to reforms previously considered impossible. and reclaim our democracy. Join us. The second is the back-to-back event called Democracy Awakening 2016. And I'm going to read you, and that website is exactly what you would expect, democracyawakening.com. I'm going to read just a blurb from that homepage. Coming together to awaken a democracy that is accessible to all and is not beholden to big money interests. Join us April 16th through 18th as we demand a democracy in which voting rights are protected and the integrity of the vote is not undermined by big money. My understanding is that those of us present will join hands to circle Congress. I think that's just amazing. I think it's really amazing. The Coffee Party will be sharing more about these two upcoming events on Facebook, Twitter, Blog Talk, and future newsletters. I will be boots on the ground with at least two other members of the Coffee Party Board of Directors and countless Coffee Party members and supporters. I hope to be there. But perhaps I'm not the most convincing or engaging person. Maybe you'd like to hear how cool this is going to be today. We have the pleasure of speaking with Frances Moore LePay. She is one of my longtime heroes. She's the author of 18 books, including the 3 million copy Diet for a Small Planet, which I bought for myself in the 70s and all my children all those years since. In addition to being an author, she's a much sought-after speaker, a founder of the Small Planet Institute, and I'm going to get a quote, I hope I quote it right, a public signer of and very excited about Democracy Spring. So, here to share her perspective is Frances Moore LePay. Welcome to Lunch with Loudon, Frances.
Oh, thank you so much. What a lovely introduction. I'm glad you laid all that out for us. I think anyone listening can have some idea of why I'm so excited.
Oh, and as am I. I was very moved by your open letter on building a living democracy movement. I think I wrote down how it started. Toward a living democracy movement, thoughts on building a rousing, smart, hope-fed citizens movement, its purpose, nothing less than breaking money's lock on a democracy and bringing forth citizens' values and choices. I just got goosebumps when I read that. So,
well, it sounds like the Coffee Party, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I just had to draw the connection for everybody today because the language here, it's the same language, so similar to the language that we hammered out all those years ago. And the actual refinement of the mission and vision happened in, I think it was like March or April of 2012, where we took everything that had brought us to that point and tried to nail who we were, because there are so many things you can be, as you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm so excited about, well, the crescendo of this kind of activity that's happening today. And
yes.
I, like you, really feel like there's just something about to bloom that is amazing.
Yes.
It may have been a long time in the making, but please, I don't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel like this is what I've been waiting for all my life. I hope that doesn't sound hyperbolic or hysterical, but I started out as a community organizer. That was my first job in the war on poverty. I wrote a blog for the Huffington Post that anybody could look up. It's called "I Was a Covert Agent in the War on Poverty," because, well, it's a longer story, but it's an accurate description of what I was up to. But my point is that this is what I've been yearning for all of my life, because, you know, I focused, as you noted, as the author of Diet for a Small Planet. Anyone who knows that book, you know how much of my life I've devoted to world hunger. And yet I started saying, you know, within a decade or sooner after I wrote my first book, Diet for a Small Planet, I kept saying, hunger is not caused by a scarcity of food. It's caused by a scarcity of democracy. And, you know, that's a kind of nifty sound bite, and I kind of liked it. But then, okay, you know, I'd say that to an audience, and they'd be enthusiastic. But then I could see, like, okay, where is this democracy, and how do we get there? And honestly, it feels like we're at that point now. Things have gotten so extreme. And the awareness is so great across all parts of society, all the different political perspectives and generations. There's a generational movement here that's represented in Democracy Spring. So I feel we're in a new place where I see what I've come to call a movement of movements, that it is people understanding that whatever their deepest passion is, say it be climate change or Black Lives Matter or world hunger, that we know that ultimately we can't succeed without democracy. And I just want to say that a friend of mine, Josh Silver, who's the founder of Represent Us, really important, anybody listening to go to that website, represent.us. But Josh offered me a wonderful metaphor. He said, Frankie, you know, think about it. You can love more than one child at once. And what he was getting at is that we can have our individual issues that we are, you know, most knowledgeable about and active on, but we also have to become democracy advocates and activists as well. And that is the root of it for me. So anyway, because I can't see your eyes there, so I don't know if I'm going on too long, but my point is that this does feel like a historic moment, and I'm just so glad to be alive in it.
I'm not sure it's possible to go on too long about this because I'm with you. It does feel like the possible culmination of all the things we've done up to this point, all the places we've skinned our knees or all the places we've been successful in not only addressing specifically what's missing or broken in this republic's democracy, but also in helping, being able to express it in such a way that those who may be still wondering can actually consider our thesis and go, yeah, that makes sense. You know, you don't have that kind of breakthrough with bumper stickers or anger or hyperbolic kind of bombasticity. Is that a word? You know, but you might be able to get something done in the short term with adrenaline, but in the long run, it really takes a philosophical grounding in what's missing, the presence of which would have this work. And so I'm right there with you. And I also appreciate what you said, Josh from Represent Us shared, which is we not only can love more than one child, we really must.
Yes.
You know, because we've got to find without acknowledging what's important to each other, it's difficult to acknowledge the thing that we have in common. You know what I mean? So you
right,
have that
right,
kind
right.
of that. I don't like the term middle ground, and sometimes I don't even like common ground because I'm always like looking for solid ground. It is, you know, something you can stand on and not quicksand.
Yeah. So, and go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, so your open letter really points to a lot of these things, and I don't know if you have more to say about it, but I surely could listen to more about it.
Yeah, what I think I'm trying to do in the open letter and another project I want to describe here at our Small Planet Institute, we're in Cambridge, Mass., what this open letter, and I'd love to share it with any of you listening, so... Should I just give our website? I mean, our email address for somebody who wanted to. Yeah, I think it's easy to remember, just info@smallplanet.org, and we could send you this letter. It's only 4 pages. But what I want to do here is very briefly let people know how much is already underway. Yes, I talk about Democracy Spring, but I also alert people to the various elements of the movement that are already really building, and how many organizations there are that are really moving forward on the question of money out of politics, for example, and voting rights, and you know, disclosure of basic transparency in our government, so that we can see that we're not starting from scratch now to wake up to this, and that we really have a lot and across. Again, a bipartisan, there's a new book out by a fellow named Richard Painter that makes the conservative case for getting money out of politics. And so this letter just tries to lay out, you know, what is the approach, very simply, what are the pieces that we need for this movement of movements. And so I just start out, I'll tell you that I kind of challenge people to come up with a new logo as well, because, you know, I think of the peace movement has this very memorable, and you can recognize it every time you see it. So we suggest that I haven't gotten, you know, just put it out there to the world, but the idea of using the American Sign Language sign for D for democracy, which works in so many different languages, and that we have a symbol for our, and a logo for this new movement of movements for democracy. And we talk about the need for celebration, and part of these actions that you just described involve this element of celebration. There's going to be concerts as part of it, and there's going to be another big democracy concert for July 4th in Washington, D.C. So these elements of, you know, the visual identity that we are all coming together, and we can use our own, of course, individual logos for organizations, but to have something that we can identify with as a democracy movement. And then I talk about the various tactics that are being used in terms of pledge campaigns, getting candidates to actually say that they will, if elected, support tough campaign finance, getting money out of the driver's seat of our political system. And so I describe these strategies and just hopefully communicate how much is happening in such diverse arenas, and including, of course, the coffee parties work. So that and I also end with a request that I want to write a new book called Democracy Rising that's coming out of a book that I wrote and spoke about at a coffee party gathering. And it's called, the original book is called Getting a Grip. And I'm rewriting that this year to talk about this movement now emerging. So I'm calling it Democracy Rising. And I'd be willing to send a free book to anyone who's interested in helping in that. A free book I would send you if you would give me, if all you have to do is promise to give me your feedback about what works for you and doesn't work for you. So these are some of the things. Oh, I wanted to mention also what we're doing, and I mentioned here in the open letter, is that we're creating, that will be online, a field guide to the Money Out of Politics movement. We're profiling 36 organizations and suggesting the range of entry points that where people can come in and participate. So we hope that's of use and something we could continue to update.
Well, you know, the field guide, when I saw that, I went, oh, thank goodness, because I know that I've thought about something like this, and others that I work with in this movement have thought about this, and it's really a huge undertaking. And so, as you probably know by now, and so while we sort of keep these Google Docs with lists of people and contacts and organizations and movements and actions and, you know, legislation, and it's really an amazing task. So the happy news is there is so much happening right
yes.
now. And,
yes.
And the even better news is you're going to be the one that's going to put it all together so that we all don't have to do it on our own.
Well, I hope it's useful. It's limited in the sense that it's really focusing on the organizations. It does not try to summarize the you know, the analytical piece of why we're doing this and all of that. And it doesn't analyze, it doesn't present the legislative approaches, but it does tell you who's doing what and can link you directly to them, and it mentions their major accomplishments recently and that sort of thing, so you can get a feel for them. So we so hope that it's of value and it's something that we can continue to update and expand and adapt as people see more useful ways of organizing the information. But I think we do make it accessible, that there is a movement. There is a movement. And that there's a satisfying way to get involved.
I like the word satisfying. because I think it's easy to be frustrated. And I think you're right. The more we know each other and the more we know, you know, that things are happening, it's not us alone, I think the better. I went and saw Lawrence Lessig at the, the Conference to Restore the Republic a couple years ago. And he said, you know, people talk about, shouldn't we all join together? Shouldn't we be one organization? And he said, absolutely not, because we're all so unique in what we bring to the table. But there's also, we all seem to be walking in the same direction. How much better for us to walk there together and for us to take the many routes and meet up at our goal. And I was so touched by that.
It's interesting that you say that. Larry is become, you know, I can say almost, you know, a friend. I mean, somebody who I've gotten to know and so admire. So it's nice when you're a hero, you actually get to know them a bit. And he came to our gathering here at Small Planet on Tuesday night, where we sent out a call for people in our on our list, you know, who had this passion for democracy and wanted to learn about Democracy Spring. And he spoke to everyone there, and everyone was moved to have him there because he's been such a courageous leader. And then today, one of the hub leaders for Democracy Spring came to have lunch with us, and he said to us, I don't know if he got this way of expressing it from Larry, or it was independent of that, but he said very similar. He talked about the ecology of democracy, which is a term I love, and he talked about how we have to just really what you're saying, that we each are so unique. It's not a matter of blending ourselves together into one movement. It's about being ourselves. And we've borrowed a beautiful metaphor from my all-time hero, Wangari Maathai, the Nobel Peace Prize winner from Kenya, who's now deceased, unfortunately. But she's left us such a legacy, including this phrase, a canopy of hope, a canopy of hope. And I feel that in that canopy of hope that you all are helping to create, that we hope to help create, of a sense that we are all moving in the same direction, that we can then, under that canopy, we retain our individuality and our individual focus, and that each have something distinct to contribute. I just think that's a beautiful way of looking at it, and powerful, and extremely powerful.
I agree. I think that, I'm not sure anyone could say it better than she. But so, should we morph over to from the general to more specific? Are you comfortable speaking about some of the specifics about Democracy Spring?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. We're still, there's still debate on the very specific demands, but there are several that I'm pretty clear about. One of them is campaign finance reform. Number one, probably the John Sarbanes Government by the People Act. And just at the end of last year, the 157th co-sponsor signed on to that bill. And it would put in place a system, among other things, but it would put in place a system of public financing that was small donor funded so that people could get vouchers and rebates, and I believe, I'm a little fuzzy right at the second on some of the details, but the idea, it would facilitate small donor funding, and then small donor contributions would be matched sixfold through public financing. So this is a way that we can have a true opportunity to run for office without being dependent on big donors, private or corporate. And one of the things on our website, that if anyone's interested in learning a little bit about what public financing can do, my son Anthony LePay is a filmmaker, and he made a 10-minute film about Deborah Simpson, who was one of the first people to run for this kind of thing at a state level in Maine. And I think you'd enjoy watching it, any of you listening to this, to see a real person who was a waitress and became a stellar legislator in the state of Maine, and then was wiped out by attacks from dark money in 2012. So it's a great way to get a grip on what's possible with that kind of reform that Democracy Spring is pushing, and to see the downside if we let dark money come in. And now Maine has strengthened its laws to protect people like Deborah. But anyway, you can see that on our website, smallplanet.org. It's called Getting a Grip on Money and Politics, the video, and our among our videos on our website. So that's one demand, is a form of public financing, and another has to do with voting rights protection.
Sure. I just stepped on Loki, and he had something to say, and I just looked back and went, oh, there he is telling me he'd like to speak.
As far as I know, I'm here. It's perfectly fine. It's live radio. Those that may be listening or want to interact with Frankie, Janine, or myself, you're more than welcome to give us a call at 646-929-2495. That's 646-929-2495. Or join us in the chat room at Coffee Party USA. My question, or the thoughts that are running through my mind right now, and they're going crazy, is there is a lot of movements out there. We are waking a lot of people up to the different things that need to be fixed or changed or whatever else. And we seem to be, as a society, willing to, in short bursts of time, unite and come together. But then we fall back on dividing ourselves through hatred and misbeliefs or whatever else. How do we come together to make a movement actually work for the long term? How do we get rid of dividing one another and work together?
Well, I think you all have been focused on that for a long time. There's not one answer. But let me just say, on this issue of money's control of our political system, 85% of Americans, talk about unity here for a minute before we talk about crossing, how do we bring diversity together, but 85% of us either say we advocate fundamental reform or a complete rebuild of our campaign finance system. So I've never in my life heard about or imagined such unity on something so profound as the broken, as the rigged political money, you know, the money in politics as there is today. So that I think we're kind of on new territory in terms of a common, across-the-board sense that this does not work, this is not democracy when so much money is in so much power. It's what Citigroup called a plutonomy, is what we have today. So I think I don't pretend to have the answer to your question, honestly, Loki, but that I do know that I've never seen this kind of unity of identifying the problem. And then as a solutions, I think that what you all are modeling with your civility pledge and what so many groups have been teaching with the Public Conversations Project, Everyday Democracy, so much learning about how to do democracy, how to effectively engage with others instead of just shouting each other down, that this is now, you know, this began decades ago, this emphasis on how do we effectively problem solve together as the heart of democracy. And people kind of, I mean, yes, we see, I started to say people kind of really yearning for that kind of decent interchange where people feel that the dignity of everyone is respected. And I also, I'd be naive not to acknowledge that I do watch the news and see the kind of ugly name-calling that is now getting a lot of traction as well. But to me, that ugly name-calling approach is out of anger. The people that are celebrating it, it's just they don't see any alternative to expression of anger. And I think once more and more of us see these positive initiatives, such as Democracy Spring, Democracy Awakening, with hundreds of organizations behind them. There are now about 100 behind from unions and on civic organizations and environmental organizations. Once they begin to see the sense of possibility, I'm thinking that some of that rancor and ugliness can subside, because people will not be as hopeless. But I think there is no one answer, and you and Coffee Party, experienced people, this is what you are modeling, and one of the reasons I so honor you.
Thanks. But, and I will agree that people are looking, are frustrated. And, you know, when I practice the I'll say nothing if it robs someone else of their dignity, I find myself just speechless sometimes. And to me, that's even an indicator of how things are going, how there's just so much angst. At the same time, so much clarity. The interesting task is to commingle them in a way mm-hmm. that empowers rather than defeats. And when my mom used to say, if you really can't say anything nice,
right.
I was like, oh, man. Because there is clarity. If you look to where you're really angry, then you actually have something to say other than, you know, something intended to hurt whoever the other person is. So,
yes. Do you agree? I've never said what I just said. And I don't, you know, I'm just thinking about how strongly I agree with what I just said. I just wonder, do you agree that one of the reasons that there is so much ugliness, as I guess my mom would have said, in people respond, is because if we feel powerless, then the show, the spectacle, the just temper tantrum, it's entertaining and it's venting, but we go for that when there's no other vehicle for that. Do you agree with that in any way, what I'm trying to get at there, that in itself is a consequence of lack of opportunity for real engagement?
Loki, do you want to speak to that? I have an answer, but I certainly could wait for yours.
Well, you know, it is tough to try to figure out what can I do. And a lot of times, in my personal opinion, people try to overthink it. They try to think, well, I have to do something big. And, you know, it can be something very, very simple that you can do that can affect the chain. It's like, you know, throwing a rock into a pond. Yeah, at first there's a big splash, but then you get all the ripples that follow it. And if they're positive ripples, you're making a change. So it doesn't have to be this flamboyant situation, but we also have to get back to the fact of getting out of the fear and realizing we can step up and stand up for what we believe in is right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to upset people along the way, but if we're all in for the common goal, not going into it egotistically or for the wrong reasons, it can be done. So that's my personal opinion.
I see in my children, as they were growing, in my grandchildren, I have Great Danes, you know, in my dogs, that all of us, and because of that, I see in myself that there is a place where the frustration is so extreme. I don't want to call it a tantrum, but it's almost like this little primal scream thing happens. You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? You can
mm-hmm.
you can
mm-hmm.
see children on the street do it. You can see animals lose it. And I really do think it's the ultimate fear and sense of powerlessness and kind of surrendering to an inner and outer torment that has people go postal, so to speak, whether, you know, I mean, it can be with the mouth. It doesn't have to be with the weapon. But I really do think it's right out of the brain stem. It never hits your forebrain. It's that lizard brain trying to survive. And the fact that there is so much screaming tells me how that there is a sense of hopelessness and fear. And when your brain is in survival mode, it's a very personal thing. It's not about saving anybody else. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's beautifully, beautifully
it's really
put.
It's really the self-preservation kind of thing. But to me, the speaking with it, or where the mischief steps in, and I only thought of this as you were speaking, is that how there's been like a Madison Avenue interpretation of that, or marketing interpretation of what we should hear as a primal scream. And it's made it so that kind of the persona of the junior high mean girl is now cool. You know what I mean? So people get up and say terrible things that are factless and baseless and just kind of tickle that inner angst. You know, I mean, who would have thought it ever be politically correct to be a junior high mean girl? You know, really. But I do think that that's a very smart marketing interpretation that takes away from the value or the integrity of that very, that inner threat. And then turns it into something that we see on TV every day. And I don't even know what to call that. I just have such a hard time watching it anymore because I don't see a productive end game with it. I mean, when people say he doesn't care what anybody thinks, fine, but he doesn't care if it's true or not. It's like the unsaid part of it. And there's lots of people guilty of that. That's why I don't use names here. So I do think that we need to honor and respect that inner fear. And rather than say you shouldn't feel that way, it's kind of like, I hear you. I feel that way, too. And here's what I have found helps me, you know.
And I also, I love everything you're saying. And I also think that we can't misunderstand what's going on as some deep divides among us that are, you know, now that we have this huge proportion of us going with the Trump tirade tantrum, and those very, very appalled and alarmed. To me, it doesn't represent fundamental difference among us if once we can work to create a culture where we can really talk to one another. In other words, I don't think I'm naive to say that I think beneath that if I could sit in a room and talk civilly with the Trump supporter, that we could find common ground. I just was looking at a study reported by Mark Gerson in his new book, that somebody had looked at data about almost over, I think it was over 1,700 specific policy issues and citizens' views of them in red states and blue states and red districts and blue districts, and found really almost no significant difference on most of the issues. It was amazing finding. And again, it's like if we can really talk to one another. And I think what we see in this huge now apparent divide is in part a reflection of concentrated wealth that has taken hold in our media. Our media system is a reflection of our political and vice versa. That, you know, once the fairness doctrine was demolished in the 80s, and once, you know, the media became just another way to make money and not a public good, a public airways public good, that, of course, the more extreme, the more inflammatory, the more ratings, because it is shocking and people want to go see that. So I just want to underscore how much I think we should take with a grain of salt, or you know, question how much the apparent division based on, you know, Trump versus Sanders, for example, is not necessarily reflecting of what would happen if we were in real conversation, or what is shown by the social science studies, really in-depth studies of how much common ground there is when we're not being led into a room of screaming where insulting people is the norm.
Right. All you have to do is go off script. And once you go off script, in my case, I tell myself, I know that this person and I have more in common than we have differences about, you know what I'm saying? And I'm now steeped in that belief. And so I really can have those conversations because I know 90%, maybe more, of anything either one of us thinks the other would agree with, as long as I can say it in a way that doesn't trip us back into the script. You know,
that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, so we get hooked into the script, and then it's all over. Because polarization, the sophistication of efforts to polarize us are the things that keep us thinking differently. Even if we say the same thing in a different way. And maybe I've said this to you before, but I really think polarization is like the cure for American ingenuity. I mean, if you don't want there to be that magical thing that we call American ingenuity, just keep us polarized. Just can't happen.
Yeah.
Just can't happen. But I think these two events, these two back-to-back events in Washington, D.C., are just magical to me in their possibilities.
Yeah, and I just want to underscore for all who are listening that even if you can't make it to Washington, I'm definitely going to be there. I'm definitely going to be risking arrest. But if you can't be there and participate, and of course you can participate without risking arrest, and there's so many activities. This starts in Philadelphia at the Liberty Bell on April 2nd. The march goes to Washington, D.C., to the Capitol steps on April the 11th, and then the Democracy Awakening picks up, and with a number set of activities, one of the most beautiful ones that I hope to participate in with Democracy Awakening is a human circle around the Capitol. I'm suggesting to everybody that if you can't physically be there, there are ways you can support by signing on as a, you know, as someone who can contribute, because it's going to take a lot of money to move, you know, to get people there and to find places for them to stay and to be fed, and not everyone has extra cash to spend on that. So there are many ways in just spreading the word, and if you can't go, to get, if your friends have more flexibility, to encourage them to go or sponsor them to go. So don't feel, I hope that anyone listening who's excited, who's excited about this, and especially once you look at the websites and see the possibilities, even if you can't personally go, you can help spread the word. We're you know, here at Small Planet, we have a flyer that has the dates so that you can, it's easy to share and tell other people what's happening. So you can, again, email at info@smallplanet.org, and ask for our flyer that has the Democracy Spring and Democracy Awakening events with the dates on them. And you'll also see our suggested logo for the democracy movement. We know it's kind of a little bit presumptuous to think that we could invent, I mean, but we want to encourage people to come up with ideas for logos that we can all identify with. So we're encouraging people to get their thinking caps on and creativity and what could be a logo that could work for democracy. So, I think there's a role for every one of us in this, of all political persuasions, who understand that money is now in control of what we as citizens should be control of.
One of the things that really impressed me when I went to these two different websites and all the links they're, you know, associated, and some of the links that others have shared with me, like you, is how prepared and organized these events are. So you can be a person who is at the rally. You can be a person at the rally who is willing to risk arrest. And I want to be clear with anyone who might be listening that risking arrest does not mean involved in violence in any way.
No.
This is a peaceful, nonviolent, resistant kind of event that you might have seen Gandhi lead or Dr. King. And if you want to know more about the specifics, I'm sure you could share a little bit more about this, but you can go to the website, and it talks about if you're going to do that, then there's a training you get to attend. And if you're going to do that, there's a legal team that's going to give you more training. And then, you know what I mean? So just as you actually could go and get your PhD in activism and never risk anything, you can just show up to all the classes and really learn, because this is...
They're going to be teaching, too. Yeah.
Exactly. There's going to be such a rich opportunity to commingle our skill sets, our talents, our insights with each other. And so we are better prepared to go forward with this common goal of removing, you know, having the elected accountable to their voters and not their funders as this huge piece, but also to really get the nuts and bolts of what responsible activism looks like. And that's very thrilling to me. Mm-hmm. And
and on that, wanted to jump in there, because on that note of responsible activism, and I, once you sign up, you can also be on the calls, listening into and participating into a conference call of organizing, and I have been so impressed at the facilitation, the inclusion, the kindness showed, the respect showed among all the people on these calls. So I think I just want to encourage you, if you are debating this, that it is a welcoming community, a very respectful community, whether you're a longtime activist or just hearing about this for the first time, that you will be included and welcomed and coached for what you need to know. And I'm convinced that I'm going to make new friends here. So I'm just so impressed with the leadership and the intergenerational dimension, because many of the initiators are very young people, and yet they're elders like I am, and so it's delightful to see that mix. And I know when we had our gathering here of about 40 people the other night, we invited them to come and learn about these actions, and it was probably from high school students on up to mid-70s were here. So I'd never seen that before either.
I think it's truly amazing. And I will be there, and I've let all my friends know, and I'll let all of you out there in Blog Talk Radio Land know that if you would like to attend vicariously, all you have to do is email me, Janine at Coffee Party USA, or leave a message at the Lunch with Loudon Facebook page, and I will put your name on my person. So I'm going to carry people with me, you know, kind of like...
Oh,
you know,
what a great idea. I want to do that.
Yeah. Well, do it. Yeah. Do it. Because, you know, really, you know, you see these clowns that have like 10,000 buttons or something. I don't know exactly how I'm going to do it yet, but I'm going to carry you all with me. And because I, you know, I don't mind counting for 100 people. I'll put up my hand 100 times, or, you know, or
that's
if there's
beautiful.
Something you want me to say or something you want me to do, just let me know. Tune
that's
in,
a great
you know,
idea.
I, yeah. And well, let's start this right now. You're in the, I would. we'll carry you with us. And,
You know,
in
that spirit, I haven't really pushed it yet in these conference calls, but I'm waiting for my moment. But now you're empowering me. I want to suggest to the organizers of both of these big umbrella movements that they encourage us to bring placards, not just that say Democracy Spring or Democracy, but bring placards from our favorite, for my case, you know, Ending World Hunger and, you know, agroecology that works for us all, to say I support democracy and because I care about hunger in America and the world, so that to embody with our placards that this is a movement of movements, so that people coming from whatever you know, voting rights, if they're coming from climate change concern, if they're coming from, you know, whatever primary issue of, you know, a mass incarceration and the injustice in our criminal justice system, to make placards that where people watching on television can see that underneath all of this is the question of democracy, and we don't have to give up our special passion.
Excellent, excellent. So the websites are democracyspring.org, democracyawakening.org. Your site is
smallplanet.org.
Smallplanet.org. And you'll be hearing more about this with, from Coffee Party, and you can go to coffeepartyusa.com, or you can watch us on Join the Coffee Party Movement on Facebook, or Lunch with Loudon on Facebook. And, well, with that in mind, any last thing you'd like to remind people to say, do, or be today?
Yes, I do have one last request that I haven't mentioned, that I'm doing something I've not done before, that I invite you, everyone listening. This is going to take place, this meeting, a weekend called The Thrill of Democracy, happening in mid-March, just in in time to prepare for this April event. It's in Roe, Massachusetts, at the Roe Conference Center, a weekend where we're going to dive deeply into all of the things that we're talking about today, and really fundamental questions of what is power and how do we move from feeling of despair to empowerment, and what is democracy itself, and how do we build a movement. But it's going to be very interactive and very much acknowledging the obstacles, but very much in the spirit of how do we together recognize that we each have power. Even our inaction, of course, has power, because our inaction continues things as they are. So we're going to be spending a weekend together, very deep dive as we prepare. And there's still room for you to come, and just go to our website. You'll see the Thrill of Democracy invitation on our homepage. If you don't see it immediately, you can go to events and read about it, but there's a big picture about it there that you'll probably see. And so I just invite people to consider that. Spend a weekend together on this, and I'd love to meet you.
That sounds great. Frances Moore-LePay, Frankie, thank you so much for joining us today on Lunch with Loudon.
My great pleasure. It's been just absolutely delightful.
Bye-bye.
So long.
So, Mr. Loki King, it's time for our, what I call our NPR moment. I'll do that part. You can take us home. Coffee Party USA is a totally volunteer, all-member, donor-supported organization. No sugar daddies, no dark money. Citizens United has not benefited us. So, if you'd like to become a member, if you'd like to donate, if you'd like to do both, you can go to www.coffeepartyusa.com and find the big red button that says Join. And it's pretty easy to find. Click on it and then do what you do best, which is support us with your nickel, dimes, and quarters. I promise you, all volunteer, all donor supported, no funny business here. So thank you very much. And Loki, thank you very much for your time today. It's been a treat as always.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
He who makes sure all things technical work well. You are my wizard and guru. Thanks very much. And thanks to all of you out there. Coffee party on.
Yeah, before
you
jump out.
You move too fast. You got to make the moment last. Just kicking down the cobblestones. Looking for fun and feeling groovy. La 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 la. Feeling groovy.